Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. I am Susan Jane, your host for the podcast, and I come from the beautiful Gold Coast in Australia. And today we have a guest from, now Michelle is from, I saw it, Tennessee. Yes, Memphis, Tennessee. So it's lovely having these different connections from all over the world. So for her, it'd be evening or afternoon. And for me, it's early in the morning. So I'm still drinking my coffee. But welcome to the show. I would love you to subscribe, share, like, move the podcast around so people can get a better understanding of it. Because today we are going to go deep. Now, what I'm really looking forward to with Michelle and talking about this subject is because we all have our different terminologies for it. We all have an understanding in our own way of what these terminologies are in the spiritual world or the paths or what we call and what we how we understand it. But with Michelle, we're going to actually go really deep and get a clearer understanding of what it means and the different levels. So I'm really looking forward to that because I have my own understanding of it. So it's really nice to be open-minded and have a listen to other people's understanding of it and see if that resonates with you. So without any further ado, I'm going to welcome Michelle to the podcast. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you? It's so nice to be here.
Ah, thank you for being here, especially all the way over there, because we are actually in the future, so you're still in the past. I just thought I'd let you know that.
Yeah, you're right. I'm catching up.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful day you're going to have tomorrow, so, you know, it's lovely.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's if you're in the Southern Hemisphere. If you know them well, it could be a little bit different.
Well, yes, we are going into the fall here, so it's starting to get very chilly and cozy. So that's always good. It's always fun.
And we're going into the heat. So yeah. But let's get an understanding. First of all, Michelle, I want to get an understanding of who you are and how did you get to where you are today? Because I know you're an inspirational author, intuitive teacher, you're highly attuned, and you work with your guides and very intuitive. And I understand all that because I could read that. But what I want to know is who you really are and how you got on your path or your journey to where you are now?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yes, I am a professional intuitive, as they say, and I work with people developing their intuition and how that works for them. But you know, really my journey was kind of a winding one. It wasn't really such a straight shot. And I think a lot of people out there can relate to that because we kind of meander. What happened to me is in my mid-30s, I had this beautiful life. I had a wonderful husband. I had, you know, a good job. I had, you know, the vacations, all the great things that we think we want. But there was a hole. There was something missing. And I couldn't quite figure out what that was. And I really started on my spiritual journey at that point because I knew that all the outside things I loved, like there wasn't really anything wrong out there. There was something missing within. And it took me down really a lot of self-exploration, a lot of workshops and books and all the things that we seekers do when we are starting on our path. And then, you know, I was so lucky because I met wonderful teachers that acted as signposts along the way that kept kind of pointing me in the right direction. And what really helped me is I started a meditation practice. And when I started to meditate on my own, and you know, a lot of people think it's all about quieting the mind, but what I noticed is when I stopped talking, I started receiving. And that was a game changer for me because I started receiving my intuition. I started connecting more deeply with my soul. I started hearing all of my, what people call spirit guides. I call that my vibe tribe. It really started coming alive for me. And one of the key things that happened for me with understanding myself better and spirituality and different modalities and things like that, but getting quiet so that my inner world could really kind of light up and show me the way.
Wow, I love that. And I love the terminology you've just used too. Your vibe tribe, that was lovely.
Yeah, so that's what I call, like, so what I have found is that my guides, they kind of shift in and out depending on what I am working on in the minute. So a lot of people, when they call their spirit guides, are the ones that they think that are closely knit around them. So, and yes, we all have those. I call those my wise guys. And they're the ones that kind of have signed up to help me navigate this very human experience. And then my vibe tribe is kind of the larger group of helpers and teachers, and it can be healers. Lots of different guides will come in throughout our path to help us, you know, exactly where we are. Sometimes they're creative muses, sometimes they help us find things, and that kind of makes up my whole tribe.
Yeah, and that sort of stops it being so controlled, or like you've only got one person or one spirit or one guide. When we haven't, we've got so many of them.
Yes.
And it's lovely to call in. It's just like the physical world. If you've got something wrong with your water pipes, you don't call in an electrician, you call in a plumber.
Right.
I
was just going to agree with you. That's exactly right. And I have found that when I'm in a different phase of my life, or when a client's in a different phase, your tribe members will kind of come in with their specific guidance and what they're really good at and what their skill set is. And then that too can kind of help you the best. What I call my wise guys, the ones that are with me throughout my whole life, help kind of navigate that and help call in those people when we need experts, right?
Yes, yeah. Okay. I really like that. There was something else you said, and I can't remember what it was, but I really enjoyed that too. I can't remember what you said, but it was. I just very, very succinct. I'm going to have to listen to the podcast, obviously.
Oh, okay.
I know what it was. What I really appreciate, Michelle, is the fact that you said in your 30s you had the perfect life, and yet you felt that there was a hole in there. So many of us, and me for one, so many of us wait until the wheels start to wobble, or wait for something to actually wait for that catalyst to make us change before we actually do those changes. So it's really, really lovely to have that understanding that everything can still be going really, really well for you, but you may just not feel that it's right. For some reason, there's something missing. And I love how you put that forward, because too many of us would sort of, again, wait for the wheels to fall off before they do something. The marriage breaks down, you have a miscarriage, your whole world, you lose your job, your whole world gets turned upside down before we actually start to do something. And if you can negotiate that there's a gap there that you need to fill, then you're on the right path, or you're starting to head down that right direction.
So what I call those are nudges. So what I felt, and it bothered me. I mean, usually a nudge will bother you. And so it was just kind of like, something's not right. Something's not right. It just kept poking at me. And when I would take a couple of steps forward and try something else, I could feel whether that was not the right, was the right thing or was not the right thing. So some of us just wait a little bit longer. We need a bigger nudge. We need a bigger, hey, let's wake up a little bit. Let's shake you awake. Where some of us can use the kind of gentle nudges. And there's no right or wrong. You know, your soul and your vibe tribe, they're going to get your attention no matter what. So yes. It's all good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can copy it there.
I do. And he's waking up. He's, and this happens a lot when I work with clients, so he will start to get excited because I think it gathers the energy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So that is very, very true. If you don't feel those nudges, if you don't start to take action on those, yes, your wheels will fall off. And sometimes the wheels fall off before you even think about looking in a different way. I really like that. And when you're talking about your puppy dog, I'm gonna go there because it just happened to jump out there. When I was doing a lot of my spiritual healing and my spiritual work, I used to find when I'd go to a client's house, their cat would always go in underneath the massage table or where I was working, because the cats used to love that energy. And so all animals do. So I understand when your puppy dog goes there, when you're starting to give out that energy,
yes,
I understand your puppy dog being there. So that's fine.
Okay. He's an old guy. He'll settle down, but he does. He loves the energy. He finds
It's cool. Oh, whoop, there he is. So you've got an understanding that we can move forward. We don't have to wait for the whole world to be turned upside down before we move forward. We can hear those nudges and we can start to get an understanding of that. And Michelle, those nudges, what can they be like? What did you experience as far as those nudges go?
Oh gosh. Well, for me, the very first nudge was dissatisfaction. And I think sometimes that has to be the catalyst for us to make us move forward. Right. So, and then after that, my nudges were, you know, I can be stubborn. So the universe will really kind of knock me on the head. And that's what happened for me. I was meditating on a regular basis. I was kind of having these weird experiences within my meditation. And I was going to a meditation teacher, and a girlfriend of mine, we were going to this yoga class once a week. And where I was from back in the day, meditation was not very mainstream. So we were sneaking into this meditation class very quietly, because it was super weird to want to meditate for 2 hours with a group of people. And I would explain to the meditation teacher afterwards that I wasn't just quieting my mind. I wasn't just going blank. Like, all these things were happening. And he was a very knowledgeable man and understood that I was tapping into energy and inner wisdom and something, different realms and things like that, and actually sent me to see a psychic. And this was before I'd ever gone to see a psychic. It was the weirdest, craziest thing for me to do. And I drug my girlfriend with me and said, "We're going to see this woman. We're off to see the psychic," like Dorothy. And this woman was very in tune and said, "You know, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to be like me one day." And I was like, "Oh, hell no. I'm not going down that path." But I really needed someone to be able to be like, "You know, this is your potential and possibility. You just don't see it for yourself yet." And so the universe kept giving me these very big nudges in big ways. I mean, I was sitting in a restaurant in South Africa, so all the way around the world from where I live. And I was sitting in this restaurant by myself, and this waiter, who was not my waiter, made a beeline to me and said, "You're a seeker, and I can tell, and you're seeking on the outside, and you need to seek within." And I was having these big kind of nudges that were happening, that were just blossoming, that can happen when we really start to hone in on our own spiritual path, our own soul's journey. That's how the universe will tell you, yes, you're on the right track. You're on the right track.
Okay. Now I want to go in a little bit deeper there, because to start with, when you talk about the meditation, I absolutely agree. I don't know how long I fought in my meditations to stop thinking. When I wasn't thinking, it was downloads, I call downloads. So I was getting this information. I'm thinking, stop thinking about that. Stop thinking about that. When it was actually downloads coming through. So, yes, that's really important as far as your meditation goes. Once you do start to, again, stop talking and start to listen, you do get the information. And if you ask before you go into a meditation, you will often get the answer then.
Yes.
So I love that you've said that. But what you've just tapped into now is you use the terminology spiritual path. Mm. Now, I saw on your website that you talk about spiritual path. You talk about getting clarity and understanding about your spiritual path. I want to know, before I go any further, hang on, if you need to, if you want to connect with Michelle, her website is going down on the ticker tape. So I've got to say this. Her website is michellesemmons.com. So it's M-I-C-H-E-L-E-S, one L, S-A-M-M, two M's, O-N-S. .com. So do that. But where I was going was, what is a spiritual path? Now, you, when we first came on, you talked about soul's journey, spiritual path. I want to get an understanding. What on earth are they? Am I on the right track? Am I connected to that properly?
Yeah, so let's start with the soul's journey, just because that can be kind of an intimidating word for some people when they think, oh my gosh, a soul's journey, that seems so big. What is that? I don't know what that is. So your soul comes in with an intention for your lifetime. You have a reason for coming in. And souls are super curious and they like to explore. So they will often pick a theme and they'll explore it many different ways and many different lifetimes on many different platforms. So, for example, maybe you decided to become a healer this time. Like, healing is one of your big themes in your soul is curious about. So maybe this time in this particular life, you come in and you're wanting to understand healing from being the healer. So you become like a medical doctor or a nurse, or you become a massage therapist, or you become an energy worker. There's lots of ways you can practice that healing. You know, on another soul's journey, you might still have the theme of healing, but being the one that needs to be healed. So you have sickness and you practice receiving healing and what that means. So a soul's journey is like a theme. It's like your soul's theme. It's your soul's intention for your lifetime. Now, to me, that is different than your spiritual path. Your spiritual path is more about your human part of that journey. And your spiritual path will always involve, number one, trying to raise your vibration, to shift your vibration into a level of consciousness that you can have harmony with your soul. And also so that you can learn to trust your human self and trust your intuition, which is, I believe, is guidance from your soul, so that you can just live more harmoniously with that broader part of you and it with this more finite part of you. So it's just a more comfortable ride. And when it becomes more comfortable and you kind of find that flow of your life, then things start to happen. It starts to become fun. It starts to feel more like a game and an adventure and not so much like a struggle or something you got to fix or overcome.
Oh, that is amazing. I love how you've done that. So let me just make sure I'm going to reiterate and make sure I've got it on the right thing. So we've got our soul's journey. Now, soul's journey is a theme, and I've known that for forever. Well, I don't know about forever, but, you know, I've known it for a while. I know that we come into this body for a particular reason, because I do intuition as well. So I know that that's happening. I know we've got two bodies and all the rest. I know I've got a thing, but I love how that you've made the spiritual path, the soul's journey and the spiritual path is more of a mix between the physical and the spiritual.
Yes.
So the soul's journey is all spiritual. The spiritual path is the mixture of two. So it's when that physical body has to be guided, basically, to achieve the soul's journey. And I have always said that when people talk about life purpose, it's not the purpose of the physical body, it's the purpose of the soul, the spirit side of it.
Yes. And your soul's journey is a given, right? Because you're going to experience that no matter what this human decides to do, right? Yes. And what's so exciting about the human part of it is that you get to add to the specifics of what that looks like. So your soul is not so caught up in the specifics, that the details are up to the human. So you're going back to our healing example. So if you're a healer, your soul's journey might be, okay, I want to be a healer in this lifetime and get really curious and wonder what that feels like and what that expansion feels like, what that knowledge and data feels like. But the human part of you gets to decide the specifics. Like, do I become an energy worker? Do I want to become a massage therapist? You know, there's different types of healing. You can do physical healing. You can do mental healing. You can do emotional healing. So there's all sorts of nuances that the human gets to have a say in. So that's what gets fun for the human part of us that's playing here in the physical, in the form, where we get to have, input.
I like that. And it just makes so much sense to me. I need that logic. I even with the stuff that I do, I need to have that logic. It's got to make sense. And that does make sense. And I think as we go and grow and develop and learn new things and experience and chat with other people, we start to be able to put out what I call our toolkit together, and getting that understanding and knowing that, okay, that's what I need to use for that, and this is what I need to use for that. And yeah, I know when people have talked about their life purpose, and they've always focused on the physical, and I've gone, no, it's the spiritual side of it, it's the soul side of it. But having that terminology, spiritual path, brings in the two, and that is just gold. All right, so we've got, you were going to say something?
Yes, no, I was just going to add on to what you were talking about. So like when you're mentioning your tools, like I would consider that your spiritual practice. So, and that can kind of morph and change depending on where we are in our lives. It can morph and change depending on our own interests. So for example, one of my spiritual practices is meditation. But that doesn't mean it's the right thing for everybody. I mean, it could be drumming. It could be running. It could be, bang at the moon. I mean, there's all sorts of spiritual practices out there that can serve you, and they can change over time. So it's okay to be fluid with that, because as the person expands and finds more and more harmony with their soul self, you know, their practices will morph to reflect that change. So that's where I could kind of even dovetail even closer in, you know, adding more details. Is there's the spiritual practice, there's the spiritual path, there's the soul journey, and there's probably more than that, but that's as far as I can see from where my vantage point here.
Yes, I know. And it's true, isn't it? Because the more you learn, and especially being on the podcast, the more people I'm talking to, you get such a different view on it, and you sort of go, wow. Yeah, so I talk about intuition, which is, like you said, I call it the communication between the soul and the physical. And I have all that understanding of there, how the communication comes through the chakras, how we, you know, go the different ways there, how we receive that sort of information. Because communication, you know, you're trying to communicate. The soul is trying to communicate with a physical body. The soul doesn't have the five physical senses. So how do you communicate like that? So that's sort of where I focus. But I love that idea, and I love getting that clarity on, you know, the soul's purpose, the spiritual journey, your practices. And I absolutely agree, practices, they do vary so much, and that's why we do need to experiment. If you're not getting what you need out of that, try something else. You know, I'm a theory tester, so I will test, and I have tested a lot of theories.
Yeah, me too, because you just outgrow some things. You know, some things worked at one point, and then it changes and you outgrow it, and you just let that be okay. That's part of your own personal evolution. And I love what you said about the intuition and that, how that is communication from the soul, because that's my sense of it too. And I like to, you know, say that we all have these kind of energetic feelers, what you're doing is you're learning your soul's love language and how best to hear your soul. And your soul is also learning how best to communicate guidance. So you're learning this love language that's just a little bit different for everybody. And that's perfect too.
Yes. So yeah, that's my specialty. I love doing that. So we've got a bit understanding of that. Oh, one of the things I did want to, you talked about the themes of the soul journey. No, you said healing, and I know teaching's another one as well. What other themes would there be?
What other soul's journeys could there be? Gosh, there's so many. So it could be like a modality. It could be like you want to be a healer or you want to be a teacher. Some people are connectors naturally, where they connect people. There's some people are I kind of like to call them decoders. They're really interested in systems. So things that are like sacred geometry, you know, people who are drawn to math, those kind of things. So there's lots of themes out there. I've even just recently written a whole bunch of them down for my folks that I've noticed when working with clients, because, you know, you can be a creative, you could be, there's many different types of souls journeys. And then there's also some souls who just want to explore like specific emotions. You know, maybe they want to explore love, or they want to explore grief this time around, and what that feels like in a variety of ways. So a soul is very curious. And from the human perspective, we don't always understand exactly why the soul picks that particular soul's journey. But from that soul perspective, it's really important. And they'll, you know, as the soul, when you come in, you'll be really, you know, purposeful and intentional about like what the parents you chose to be with, where you were chose to be born, what kind of body you decided to, you know, use as your vehicle this time around. I mean, you'll use all sorts of things in order to support this journey. And so part of that human aspect is accepting some of those choices you made as a soul before you even got here.
Wow. Okay. All right. So what we've looked at then is there's lots of different areas there. So we can't really always concrete that. But I know that when you're feeling good about something, it's like when I started this podcast, partner said, you know, why are you doing it? You're not making money out of it. It's not really part of your business. And I said, you know what? I get so much enjoyment out of doing it. I don't know why I'm doing it. There's no sort of set intention. I need to do this to do that. I don't have a goal for it, but I just love doing it. I love talking to the different people that are coming on the show. I love the connections that I'm making. So I don't have a purpose for doing this, but it must be part of my purpose because of the passion and the drive I've got for it.
Yes, yes, yes. I was just going to add on that. So yes, so passion is a huge key in that you are that you're in harmony with your soul. So that's one way as humans we interpret that harmony is passion, excitement, curiosity, wonder. And we can't always, you know, our intuitive mind receives this and we know that we like it. And our analytical mind can't always explain to ourselves or to others what it is that we like. But that's when we have to begin to trust our intuition. We have to go with it anyway, which is exactly what you've done. You've created this podcast and you didn't have a really great rational reason for it. You just knew you wanted to do it. And that's your intuitive self that's just guiding the ship. And so when we aren't as in tune as you might be with your intuition, passion, curiosity, wonder, all those things that pull you forward, that is pulling you closer and closer to harmony with your soul. So follow those, even if they don't make sense, even if, you know, it seems like you're kind of going in a zigzag or you're going in circles, just let that be okay. Don't get bogged down with that forward movement of that analytical, you know, logical part of us that likes forward progress, goal oriented, because that's not how intuition works, as you know. So passion is huge to find harmony with your soul, with your spiritual path, with your soul's journey. Passion is your compass.
Yes, yes. And it does. It makes you realize that you do feel like, and things fall into place. All of a sudden these things start to fall into place. You go, oh, okay, there you go. I must be meant to be here, you know, that's how you feel.
And oftentimes, at least for me, they'll fall into place in hindsight. So you have to kind of take that leap of like, I don't know why I'm doing this. This doesn't necessarily make logical sense, but there's something here for me. What happens for me is, you know, I take the leap and I take the step and then another thing appears. And so that next step comes and then another thing appears and that next step comes. So those intuitive flashes, you just kind of follow almost like sparkles in the night sky. And then what happens is it eventually all makes sense to the analytical logical mind that just couldn't keep up with the intuitive part of us. And then you look back in hindsight and you're like, oh, this is why I did this and that and that and this. And this is why this person came into my life and I learned about this. And it starts to make sense.
Yes, absolutely. It's like I did when I was 48, I went back to uni, did a 3-year uni degree. I was working part-time and doing all of that. It felt right. Everything fell into place for me to do the uni degree. 6 months after the degree finished, the government changed hands and wiped out all the jobs. So I had spent 3 years learning to do a job that was no longer there. And so consequently, yeah, like it felt like my wheels had fallen off too. But if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have had the confidence to write my book. I wouldn't have had the confidence to start my business. I wouldn't have had the confidence to go onto the internet like I did and you know, really nail IT and get an understanding of that. I now do digital marketing. I wouldn't have had the confidence if I hadn't have done that uni degree. And yes, I still owe the money for the uni degree. It will be paid. But it was a real aha moment. And again, it was in hindsight. When it's all happening, it was so devastating. But in hindsight, as you say, when you start to look back, you go, if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have got there. If I hadn't have got there, I wouldn't have got there. If I hadn't have got there, this wouldn't have happened. So you have to understand it. You do follow that those messages, those little intuitive hunches that you get. You do follow them, and it doesn't often make sense. But yeah, when you look at it in the big picture, you go, wow, it's like that little jigsaw puzzle. When you see that little puzzle, that little piece, it's like, wow, what on earth is that? You know, like it's a colour, it's shapes. What on earth is it? And it's not until it's in the big picture that it all comes together. So I really love how you've done that. Now, before I go any further, though, Michelle, I just want to let them know that the ticker tape's going down the bottom. And this is a book, and I want to talk about this one. It's called The Little Book of Big Knowing. So Tiny Bursts of Insight to Wake Up Your Soul by Michelle. Now, why I want to bring this forward is because we've been talking about this. We've talked about our soul's journey. We've talked about that spiritual path and how we can have those different themes and how we can learn different ways. Your little book of big knowing is little tiny bursts of insights to wake up your soul. What does that mean and how do we do that?
Yeah, so thank you for that. I appreciate it. The little book of big knowing is... what I find is it's little bitty nudges. So we get caught up in our very physical, material world, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, the material, physical world is spiritual. But we kind of get caught up in our very everyday lives, and we don't often sit to kind of ponder the big ideas, the things that our soul loves, the things that our human heart loves, that kind of wisdom that we crave. And so in the little book of big knowing, what I tried to do is make little bitty tiny burst of insight that you could read in the morning or just when you felt the call to, that would start to help you think in a different way, kind of start to help you think like in a mystical sort of way, and allow it just to kind of let you question things, let it settle into your bones. And how I encourage people to use the little book of big knowing is to pick it up randomly. Use your intuition. Let it fall open to a particular page. And often what you'll find is there's some kind of little nugget in there for you that you were interested about or curious about or solved something you were thinking about. So you don't have to read it in a linear fashion from start to finish. You can just kind of pick it up and let your intuition guide you to what you need next.
Oh, that sounds lovely. That sounds really nice. Yes. So, and where can I get that book, The Little Book of Big Knowing? Where can I get that?
Yes. So you can go to my website. It has a bunch of links there for you. You can get it at all the big names. So like the Amazons, the Barnes and Nobles, the Walmarts, all those places. And there's a bunch of links on my website. If you go to books, you'll see The Little Book of Big Knowing. You'll also see The Intuitive Companion. Lots of fun things for you to try there.
Hang on a minute. There's another one. What is that? Yes. Okay. I've got it on the ticker tape now. So that's called Intuitive Companion, Consult Your Inner Guru for Everyday Guidance by Michelle Sammons. So what is that one? You can't just sneak over these things. We want to know.
Well, I appreciate that. So the Intuitive Companion I created as a, so for those folks who are really yearning to listen to their soul, they're really yearning for guidance, but it still feels kind of foggy to them. And they're still like, oh, I don't know if I'm getting guidance or if I'm getting my thoughts. And, you know, they're still trying to, just figure out all the threads, if you will. So the Intuitive Companion is actually a book that has intuitive guidance. And what I suggest you do is you get quiet, maybe settle your mind, meditate for just, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, ask your big hairy question, and then and let that question go, and then open up to the Intuitive Companion. And these are kind of short little insights for you that will kind of put you in a certain direction, and they're short and they're to the point. And I don't go into a lot of explanation because I really want you to use your own intuition to apply it to your life, because you're going to open this book and be like, what does that mean? What does that have to say to me? And that's part of the, of intuition. It's receiving the information, but then also translating it so that it makes sense in your own life. So that's what the Intuitive Companion is about. Now, I put it in a book form instead of like a card deck that people are used to, because I found that sometimes that can be a little intimidating if you're not used to oracle cards and things like that. So I wanted to make it really simple and really user-friendly so that people who could go to a bookstore and pull it off the shelf and go, this is cool. I can get some information from this. And it's your own intuition guiding you to the particular page that you happen to need for that particular situation or circumstance.
Okay, I'm going to put you to the test. Oh, my hair's sticking up. I'm going to put you to the test. Have you got your book, one of your books there?
Oh, I do. You want me to grab it?
I want you to grab a book, open it up to a page, because there's got to be something in there that's going to be suitable or give one of the listeners an aha moment.
Okay, I sure will. Let's see. Hold on 1 second.
Okay, so Michelle's just jumped out to get her book, and we're just gonna have a little. There it is, the Intuitive Companion. So there's a picture there on it on the show if you wanted to watch that one. All right, you just pick out a page for us and read what it says.
Yeah, I'll be glad to. So this is what I would do if I was if I was suggesting this to one of the folks I work with. I would ask them to take a deep breath and just to wonder what wisdom is available for them today. And then I would just release that kind of question and allow whatever outcome happens to come be perfect. And then I would open the book. Ah, and so this is a fun one. This one says, compliment yourself constantly. You deserve it. And then I would suggest if someone received this and they said, oh, compliment myself daily, compliment myself constantly, you deserve it. What does that mean for me? Where am I not? For me, I would say, like, where am I not complimenting myself? Where I'm being hard on myself? Where I could be more positive? Where could I be sweeter and kinder to myself? You know, where could, you know, people love compliments? So, you know, your own heart, your own psyche loves compliments, that you're doing a good job, that you're right on time, those kind of things. So that's where your own intuition comes in. You receive this message and then you think, oh, wait a minute, how does that apply to my life? And then that's where you get to use your intuition.
Yes. And then the other flip side to that too, I know I do it myself, is that I would, if I'm at the shopping center, I compliment the person serving me. And as you get used to complimenting other people, you get used to giving it back to yourself as well. So yes, as soon as I saw that, I went, oh, what am I not complimenting myself on? What have I just brushed over? And I mean, you don't have to scream it out to the world, but you just have to take it in and go, hang on, I did a good job of that. Good on me.
Right. It's self-appreciation. Yes. But we don't, but that feels heavy and big, right? Oh, self-appreciation, what does that mean? So if you say, oh, where am I not complimenting myself? Like, you know, maybe you made the kids lunch for school. Good job. Way to go. I mean, that is, you know, that was all, a whole probably big morning exercise that you had to do, and you did it well, and your kids are going to be nourished and, you know, satisfied and have, you know, their head on straight for the afternoon classes. And I mean, things like that, we don't give ourselves enough credit of all the really great things we're doing, all the ways that we're showing love to ourselves, showing love to others, all the little things that we just think we're supposed to do, but you don't have to do them. You don't have to make your kids lunch, but you chose to because you love them. So give yourself a pat on the back for that one.
Yes. And even go back a bit further. It's not only you've made the lunch, you've actually had to go and buy it. You've had to prepare for it. You have to do all of that. So we do just take that for granted, you know, and we need to step back and pat ourselves on the back. So that is obviously somebody needed to hear that. Somebody needs to hear that, hey, you deserve it. And you've got to say it to yourself first to believe it, because it doesn't matter what anyone else says to you.
Yeah. So when we start to be kinder to ourselves and compliment ourselves, what happens is we start to like ourselves, and we start to like ourselves so much that we kind of gain confidence. And the reason why that's important, not only do you feel better, but also you kind of relax into like, okay, so I have enough confidence to understand that my path might not look like everybody else's path, and that's okay. Because I'm really starting to like myself. I'm really starting to appreciate myself. So when my path diverges from someone else's or from mainstream or from culture, that's okay. I can trust myself. I can like myself enough to go in that direction. I'll give myself permission to go in that direction. And that's what oftentimes what intuition, your spiritual path, your spiritual practices will ask of you. They'll ask of you to go into a different direction than you might have thought of originally. And you have to have enough self-love, self-appreciation, self-confidence in order to do that.
Yes, absolutely.
It all kind of ties in together.
It does, doesn't it? And, you know, funny enough, just doing one small thing like complimenting yourself, you're really surprising how the ripple effect of that goes, you know. Oh, it's just amazing. But we are starting to get a bit low on time, Michelle, now. So I would still like to put forward your website so you can get the Little Book of Big Knowing at the website and the Intuitive Companion, both of those at michellesammons.com. So it's M-I-C-H-E-L, one L-E, and S-A-M-M-O-N-S, so double M on that one, .com. So you'll be able to grab all those from there. But you also do other things. So that was your two books. But you're also a coach, aren't you? A life coach? A intuitive coach?
So I'm an intuitive coach. So I work with people doing readings and mentoring them on their own intuition. I work with folks trying to find their creativity, who are really just, you know, trying to live in harmony with their soul, with what feels good to them. And so I do that with intuitive readings, with mentoring. For folks out there who are more do-it-yourselfers, I have the Art of Intuitive Living, which is an e-course that they can participate in. There's lots of fun things on the website. You can kind of poke around and study and see what you like. But my mission is for folks to really kind of feel at home within themselves and to trust themselves, trust their intuition so that they can find harmony with their soul and live this really kind of peaceful, joyful, kind life that they want to live, that feels good to live.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being on the show. That was a lovely thing.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It's been delightful.
Oh, no, it's really cool. And it was funny because when I was looking at your profile and different things like that and trying to find something to talk about that's a little bit different, that, you know, it's to really hone in for the listeners, it was like, oh, I was really sort of quite stuck on where to go, because you do very, very much what I do. But when I started to talk to you and got the understanding of it, the way you explain it, the way you do it, was so lovely. You know, it's really nice. It's different to what I do, but it's lovely. And of course, that's going to resonate with other people. So if you want to connect with Michelle, jump onto her website. It will be on the links below too. But thank you, Michelle. We're running out of time, so I have to say goodbye. Don't go anywhere. I will talk to you in a sec. Let me just go back to there. That's where I need to be. So, guys, yeah, jump on and have a look at the website. Have a look at the two books. What a great idea, you know, to be able to open that up. And it'll resonate with you. There'll be something there that just triggers something off and you'll sort of go, well, you know what? For the rest of today, we are going to make sure we compliment ourselves. And we don't have to do it out loud. We don't have to tell the world about it. We just sort of go, oh, good job. I did that good. You know, high five yourself. Can you do that? We can clap. But anyway, that's me. That's the show. Subscribe, like, share. You will find it on the Voice of Intuition show. You'll see it on YouTube too if you want to watch it on there. Again, jump onto my website, intuitivenature.com.au. It's Australian business. And you will also find some courses, how to do flower readings. Of course, that's my little tool of the trade, my flower readings. So you can learn how to do that. But that's me for today. For this week, I will catch up with you all next week. And thank you so much for being on the show. Okay, bye for now.